on September the 30th in the year 2019, which was the feast of St. Jerome. Remember, St. Jerome was the person who translated the Bible for the first time into Latin. Oh, and by the way, St. Jerome died in the year 420. So, on the 30th of September in the year 2019, on the feast of St. Jerome, Pope Francis issued an apostolic letter entitled, He Opened Their Minds. The title is taken from the 24th chapter, verse 45 of the Gospel according to St. Luke, where the evangelist writes these words. He, that is Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. With this verse as the basis of the letter, Pope Francis writes, This was one of the final acts of the risen Lord before his ascension. Jesus appeared to the assembled disciples. He broke bread with them and opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now remember, St. Luke wrote his gospel sometimes in the late 60s or the early 70s of the first century, a long time ago. But think about what we do at every Mass. Exactly what the Holy Father, Pope Francis, says is described in that scripture verse. First, we open our minds to understand the Holy Scriptures. That's what we're doing right now. And then secondly, we continue in the apostolic action of the breaking of bread. Now, the reason why Pope Francis wrote this letter, He Opened Their Minds, was to announce that commencing on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time in the year 2020, every Sunday that is the third Sunday of the year will be a Sunday where the Universal Church celebrates the Word of God. So this Sunday has a special title, the Sunday of the Word of God. And it's in recognition of this that, as you see, there is an open Bible here in front of the altar. And so in this Mass, we are doing something particular. We are giving thanks, which is what the word Eucharist means. We are giving thanks to God for His revealed word. And here's the thing about the Bible. There is always this interrelationship between the risen Lord, who is now in heaven, and His open word. We can only understand the word because the Holy Spirit guides and inspires our reading and study of Holy Scripture. But here's the thing we discover in our lives. The more we know Scripture, the more we study the written Word of God, we come to know Jesus Christ more personally in our own lives. There is a direct correlation between our knowing Scripture and our knowing Jesus. That's putting it positively. St. Jerome said it negatively. He said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So there's a question I want to now ask, and then I hopefully will answer. How is it that we can come to know that Scripture leads to knowledge of Christ? How is it that we can know that Scripture and knowing Scripture leads to a knowledge of Christ? Well, I was thinking about it this way. Think about the Bible, that is the written book, as a great story that doesn't just have chapters, but it's such a big story that within the overarching story, there are certain books. So let's think about the books of Scripture. Book one, and they're not all of equal length. Book one is creation. That's the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. Book two is what we call the fall. This is Genesis chapter 3 to the end of Genesis chapter 11. A little bit bigger book. Then we get the biggest book of all, the book of Israel. That goes from Genesis chapter 12 to the end of the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Malachi. That's book three. Book four is the story of Jesus as told in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then book five is the story of the church, as it's told in the Acts of the Apostles, the letters of St. Paul, the other letters of the New Testament, and the Revelation of St. John. So books 1 through 5 are contained here. What's book 6? Book 6 is the book we are living in. Book 6 started at the time just after the apostles, what we would call the post-apostolic church. And book 6 will continue until Jesus Christ comes again. So here's what I want us to think about now for a minute. Any story that is a good story is going to have continuity. Now, what is developed will definitely have plot twists as part of the story. But here we are in book 6, and it's not being written quite in the same way as books 1 to 5. So what has Jesus done? He realizes, in order for book 6 to unfold in a way that's going to be in keeping with what's come before, I'm going to need to make sure there are some editors to help edit book 6. Who are the editors? The editors are the popes. The editors are the bishops of the church. The editors are the theologians and the ethicists of the Catholic tradition who for 2,000 years have helped to study and interpret the scripture so that we can live them appropriately in our own time. And so here's the beautiful thing about Holy Scripture. The more we understand what's in books 1 through 5, the more we know how we are to live in book 6, which is our current situation. And there are two things in particular that can help us live purposefully here in book 6. The first is to know the story well. That is the story of books 1 through 5. And the second is this point: to know that even though we are here in book 6, this book is not going to go on forever. This book will also come to an end. And when this book comes to an end, there's going to be another story that is going to begin to be written. And I'll say something more about that at the end of my homily. Now, in our gospel for today, Jesus says something very interesting. As he begins his public ministry, he says the time is fulfilled. Now think about that. The time is fulfilled. For something to be fulfilled means that there must have been a promise made earlier that is related to the fulfillment of that promise. And this is what Jesus is saying. Everything written about me in the Hebrew scriptures, what we would call the Old Testament, all of the prophetic writings, everything that you see in Moses, everything that you see in what we would call the wisdom literature, everything you see in the histories that points to me, now it is fulfilled. That the messianic age is now being inaugurated. But think about it. For Jesus to announce to his hearers that the time is fulfilled implies something. It implies that they know the story that he's talking about, that it's not foreign to them. And so here's the first point of application. As Catholics, you are called to know the Bible. It is your responsibility as a baptized Catholic to know Holy Scripture. And here's the wonderful news. I think it's wonderful news. This year, Ascension Press, along with Father Mike Schmitz, is reading through the entire Bible. We started on the 1st of January, and it will end on the 31st of December. And by the time we get to the end of December, we will be at the end of the book of Revelation. Each podcast takes about 20 minutes a day. I know many parishioners at St. Peter's, because they've told me, are participating in it and they're loving it. What Father Mike does is he reads, for instance, at the moment he's reading from the book of Genesis, the book of Job, and from Proverbs. And after he's read scripture for about 15 minutes, he takes about 5 or 6 minutes in a very sort of folksy, gentle way to explain something of the Bible. At the beginning of the year, this was the most listened to podcast in the world. Not the most listened to religious podcast, the most listened to podcast in the world. Now, Whether or not people stick with it for 365 days, that's another story. If you are listening to this podcast, I want to encourage you to recognize that the 20 minutes you're taking to read Scripture are 20 of the most important minutes of your day. Persevere. Stay with it. If you're hearing about this for the first time, I would encourage you to say, you know, don't go back to the beginning. Just pick it up tomorrow with Father Mike and carry on through the year. Go to Ascension Press and the Bible in a Year, or you could just Google Bible in a Year and it will take you there. What is so easy about this? I open my phone every day in my podcast app and there it is. And I press the button and I listen. So this is the first point of application. It's never too late to come to a knowledge of Holy Scripture. And it ties in with something else Jesus says in our gospel. For he says to repent and to believe in the good news. Now, I've mentioned this to you before, but the word repentance actually has to do more with the mind and attitude rather than the body and action, although it leads to that. But the word repentance means the following: to be transformed in your thinking. So when Jesus says to repent, he means be transformed in your thinking. Learn to look at the world through a biblical lens so that you can believe the good news. One of the things that I read about St. Jerome, remember, this man translated the whole Bible from Hebrew and Greek into Latin. And he was never satisfied that he knew the Bible well enough. Never. He continued to desire to know the Bible more because he understood what it does to us and for us. And so I want to ask each of you a question. Examine your own hearts. How well do you know the Bible? Do you desire to know the Bible? And if you do, may we be inspired by St. Jerome to discover more and more these first five books so that we can live in book six with understanding and purpose. Because when we do, a transformation happens in our lives. We have a change of perspective with how we live in relation to the present world. St. Paul put it this way: the present form of the world is passing away. What does that mean, Paul? Well, it means the following. We are to live in relation to everything that is about life in this world in such a way that we treat things like marriage, happiness, sorrow, our possession, and our vocations not as ultimate matters, not as the things that matter most. Why? Well, because as Paul says, the form of this world is passing away. And what does that mean? It means that one day book six is going to come to an end. It will be completely written. And when that happens, we as Christians believe something. We believe there is another story that will begin to be written that is beyond our imagination in terms of how remarkable it will be. Why can I say that? Because this book tells me it is so. And so here's my final point. When we come to know the story, and more importantly, when we come to know the one who is at the center of the story, our Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that with Simon, Andrew, Peter, and John, and James, that we are called to be used by Christ to help others to come to know this story as well. And isn't it a great story? I mean, you can't have a better main character. And the host of characters that have been part of that story from the very beginning of Genesis through the latest saint of the church. I mean, there's no story like it in the world. Therefore, we are invited to live a life of evangelization. And do you know what the word evangelization means? It means to share the good news. To share the good news of the biblical story. And why is it good news? It's because this story helps to make sense of each of our own stories. And so, in conclusion, let me say these words. The story of the Bible, you and I had absolutely nothing to do with its creating. The biblical narrative has existed long before we were ever born. However, we do have a part to play as it continues to unfold. May we pray that the Lord will open our minds and our hearts to His most holy word, that we will discover in our knowledge of Scripture a deepening knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that you and I can live purposefully in Book 6 as we share in the greatest story that has ever been told.